Hello again, and good evening from me, Alan Dell. So, we have lost one of the great showmen of the dance band world, Joe Loss. For almost 60 years, he brought a great deal of happiness to thousands, indeed millions of people who danced to his orchestra and bought his records. And on a number of occasions through the years, Joe and I talked about his career. And in a moment or two, we might remind ourselves of some of his comments. But before we get to that part of these dance band days, I'd like to play first a record by Bertini and the Tower Blackpool Band. There is a reason, apart from the fact that I'm asked from time to time to play the band's records. What we have this time is one of those little 8-inch Eclipse discs, this one dating from December 1933, and it's that popular tune You Ought to See Sally on Sunday. The vocalist is Cavan O'Connor.
Dainty Sunday clothes, with her hat on one side, she's a picture of charm. Just imagine my pride as she clings to my arm. You might pass her by on a Monday, when her long weary work day is through, but you want to see Sally on Sunday, the one day her dreams come true.
Blackpool Dance Band with vocalist Cavan O'Connor and You Ought to See Sally on Sunday from December 1933. I think only the very last few bars of which our medium wave listeners heard after their cricket scoreboard. There was a reason for playing that, and there is for the next record, which is also from 1933, April that year. I'm afraid it's somewhat surfacey. In fact, it's very restricted in quality. It's a Sterno record. I wonder if you can recognize the band. You'll certainly recognize the vocalist. That's Sam Brown. Here's just an excerpt.
Was like a melodious glee. Sweet moon song that wasn't meant for me. Why is it always reminding me of a love dream that never could be? Sweet moon song that wasn't meant for me. It came gliding into my heart, riding on a moonbeam from above. Sorrow ended and the whole world blended in a rhapsody of love. I heard her singing to somebody else what I thought was my melody. Sweet moon song that wasn't meant for me.
Sorry about the quality of that record. When it was made in 1933, the band was resident at the Astoria Charing Cross Road. In later years, it was to become one of the most popular dance bands, at one time at the Hammersmith Palais, during which period this record was made, the vocal by the man who directed it.
We do what you would do on top of a bus. Love knows no care. Why should we worry when we paid our fare? Spinsters, bachelors, how they envy us, riding on top of a bus.
Well, now I think you know. That was Oscar Raymond's Romany Band with Sam Brown, first of all singing Moonsong, and then it was Harry Davis on top of a bus. Both bands, particularly Oscar Raymond's, figure in the Joe Loss story, as he recalled in one of our conversations. If you remember, I think Joe as a child was encouraged by his family to take up the violin. And after leaving school, he studied at the London College of Music and Trinity College, and he played around London for the silent films. And then, as he recalled...
I was offered a job in the Chinese cafe at the Tower, Blackpool. It was just really a tea room, and I used to run down 1,000 stairs into the large ballroom, the Tower ballroom, and I actually saw, for the first time in my life, a big band, Bertini and his band.
Bertini at the Tower, Blackpool, right?
And at the end of 3 months, I began to dream a bit. I felt, I've got to be a band leader.
I remember you telling me a story once that after the Blackpool days, and you came down to London, and you got to know some of the musicians and things, you used to stand outside the Berkeley Hotel.
I did. Night after night. And again, it was a dream, and the sound of music just coming through those windows. Oh. I used to walk home. I was born in the East End of London. Living there, it would be a 5-6 mile walk. I didn't mind it. They used to finish around 1-2 o'clock in the morning. Until eventually, my dream came true when I got into an orchestra at Wimbledon Palais in London with the late Joe Arbiter. And from there, I was asked to record with different people. So I was a fair violinist. Mm. And among them was Oscar Raymond, who really gave me a break. And I remember Oscar saying to me, why don't you get a few boys together and give us an audition? We need a relief band. But then I was only 20 years of age. Mm. Something quite unheard of, being a band leader at 20. But then I gave the audition and got the job.
So Joe's was the relief band to Oscar Raymond at the Astoria. And he also spent a while at the Kit Kat restaurant where he began recording in 1933. One of his first sides, in fact, the very first title, was the Harry Parr Davis song Happy Ending on August the 16th of that year.
Look at the sun, try to drive those shadows away. The longest lane will soon be bending. Flowers will bloom, spreading the good news over the way. Spring will soon come, smiling down the lane. Hallelujah, I myself again. Roll on, roll on the happy ending. Let us be gay and all the clouds will crawl away.
Loss's Kit Kat Band in 1933 with vocalist Jimmy Messini, the band's guitarist at that time. Back at the Astoria in the summer of 1935, Joe Loss nearly acquired a much more important vocalist. She was introduced to him by a Tin Pan Alley song publisher destined to play an abiding part in Joe's life, Wally Ridley. And when I first heard the story, I asked Joe if, when he met Vera Lynn, it was just that, a meeting. Or did she sing with the band?
Oh, yes, she sang with us. I'm not too sure whether it'd be three or four months for a period. I would love to have kept her on, but I don't know who was guiding her financially, but she said she wanted 30 shillings a broadcast, and I'm afraid I couldn't meet that sum of money.
But Vera Lynn did make at least one record with the band in August 1935 for the old Octocross label. You stayed at the Astoria right through until the war, didn't you?
Yes, until I got married. I did go out for two periods, around 35. I went around the country because I'd already commenced broadcasting. My first program was entitled First Time Here. Mm. And I was very, very fortunate the media came out with reports such as, this band must not be shelved, and then I began broadcasting regularly.
Yes.
And my signature tune those days that people still talk about was Let's Dance at the Make-Believe Ballroom. I used to use announcements such as, well, wherever you are in your home, roll back the carpet and dance, whether it be in a parlor or in the kitchen. Turn your home into a ballroom.
Afford Vera Lynn, he certainly did manage to afford the man more associated with the band than anyone else, Chick Henderson. His recording of Begin the Begin with Joe is a classic. And I remember talking to Wally Ridley, who became Joe's recording manager, and remained so until, well, really just the other day, about Chick and the song.
It's not an easy one, you know. It's not an easy one to handle.
It's a 64-bar tune.
That's right. And it's not an easy song to handle for anybody. I know there's been a lot of good people do it and do it well. Mm. But Chick, you've got to remember, too, that it's a long time ago we're now talking about, because Chick, you know, was killed in the war. And so we're talking pre-war times. And many of the technical things which we now have did not exist in those. For instance, you had to make it in one those days. You couldn't cut, you couldn't pinch, and you couldn't pull, and you couldn't take a piece out of this, and you couldn't readjust anything. And you either sang it right or you didn't sing it right, you know. And Chick had this ability to do it right at that time.
Mm.
And I think he was really a fine singer. And I think today, had he lived, he would have been quite something.
Mm. When they begin Begin. It brings back the sound of music so tender. It brings back a night of tropical splendor. It brings back a memory evergreen. I'm with you once more under the stars, and down by the shore an orchestra's playing, and even the palms seem to be swaying. When they begin the beginning, To live it again is past all endeavor, except when that tune clutches my heart. And there we are, swearing to love forever, and promising never, never to part. What moments divine, what rapture serene, till clouds come along to disperse the joys we had tasted. And now when I hear people curse the chance that was wasted, I know but too well what they mean. So don't let them begin the beginning. Let the love that was once a fire remain unembered. Let it steep like the dead desire I only remember.
Popular Chick Henderson. There were many others who sang with Joe Loss through the years. One recalls particularly Monty Ray and Paula Green, Elizabeth Beatty and Howard Jones, Rose Brennan, of course. And the later stars, Ross McManus, Larry Gretton, Todd Miller, Rosa Love Band. Perhaps some of those will be recalled in the much longer tribute to Joe Loss that will be broadcast shortly. And not only the singers, many of the later hits like Wheels, Cha-Cha, the May Gray theme, March of the Mods, and so on. Let us, to close these few memories, remain in the 1940s and recall another man who had a major impact on Joe's career, a publisher and also a musician, a guitarist, Joe Brannelly.
Joe had a very big influence with regard to my outlook in music. Mm. Being an American, he came over, he worked with the Savoy Group, and then he knew all the American band leaders and stars. And one day he said to me, I heard a piece of music. When I was shortwave listening those days, he said, I think you ought to try it. And we played it, and at the end of the number, people came up and said, what's it called? And I thought, well, I must try it out on the air, and we did. And it was instantaneous success.
Yes.
It was called In the Mood. And so I dropped to Make-Believe Ballroom, which was still very good.
Oh.
And conveyed the message.
It's a marvelous
to something weapon. That's remained a symbol of the orchestra, the trademark of the orchestra.
Thank you.
Joe Loss's In the Mood. And the other side of that 1940-78, which was this tune at the Woodchopper's Ball, as well as many more of Joe's hits of the 1940s, will be available again next month in a new Cedar series from EMI. That's the special Cambridge Computer Enhanced Transfers. Woodchopper's Ball, of course, served for a long time as this program's signature tune. And so it's very appropriate to have it close this very small selection of milestones in the career of one of the most popular, energetic, longest-serving band leaders that it's been my pleasure and honor to know, the late Joe Loss.